News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sen Gupta. Let's have a listen to some of the top stories at this time. A 9-judge constitution bench of the Supreme Court is scheduled to commence hearing a batch of pleas today on the issue of allowing women of all ages to enter Kerala's Sabarimala temple, along with other contentious issues of alleged discrimination against Muslim and Parsi women. The 9-judge bench, headed by Chief Justice S.A. Bobde, will hear a batch of 60 petitions. The other judges on the bench are Justices R. Banumati, Ashok Bhushan, L. Nageshwara Rao, M. Shantanagoudar, S.A. Nazir, R. Subhash Reddy, B.R. Gawai, and Suryakant. The 9-judge bench has been set up after a 5-judge bench, headed by then CJI Ranjan Gogoi, by a 3-2 majority verdict, referred the matter to a larger bench while examining the review petition filed against the historic September 28, 2018 judgment, which had allowed women of all ages to enter the Sabarimala temple. Besides Justice Gogoi, Justices A.M. Khanwilkar and Indu Malhotra, the lone woman judge on the bench, were in majority, while Justices R.F. Nariman and D.Y. Chandrachud had penned down a minority verdict on November 14, 2019. Of the 9-judge bench which will hear the matter from today, there is no judge from the previous bench. The top court had on January 6 issued a notice informing about listing of the batch of petitions seeking review of the 2018 judgment. While referring the matter to a larger bench, the 5-judge bench had, however, said that the debate about the constitutional validity of religious practices like bar on entry of women and girls into a place of worship was not limited to the Sabarimala case. The top court said such restrictions are there with regard to entry of Muslim women into mosques and dargahs, and Parsi women married to non-Parsi men being barred from the holy fireplace of an agari. It said it was time for the apex court to evolve a judicial policy to do substantial and complete justice. The Delhi Police's crime branch probing the JNU violence said on Sunday that it has sent notices to 49 people, including Akshat Awasthi and Rohit Shah, who featured in a sting operation conducted by a TV news channel, to join the investigation. Awasthi and Shah are first-year students of Jawaharlal Nehru University. They have been sent notices to join the probe, officials said. When police contacted Awasthi and Shah, they said they will join the probe. Though their phones were later found to be switched off, their locations have been traced and the two will be questioned in connection with their alleged involvement in the violence on campus on January 5, the police said. While Awasthi belongs to Kanpur in Uttar Pradesh, Shah is a resident of Munirka area in Delhi, they added. Besides them, police have identified as Komal Sharma the masked woman wearing a check shirt, light blue scarf and carrying a stick, who was seen in the purported videos of the violence shared on social media. Sharma, who is a student of Daulat Ram College, has also been sent a notice to join the probe, the police said, adding her phone was found to be switched off since Saturday night. According to police, the server room was vandalized on January 4, following which the forensic science laboratory team, which visited to collect evidence on Saturday, could not retrieve the data. The FSL team will visit the campus today to retrieve data from the server since they are operational now, a senior police official said. There have been reports that students have received emails from the server room on January 4 and 5. The source of those emails will also be looked into, he said. Addressing a press conference, the police had on Friday claimed that 9 students, 7 of whom are from left-leaning bodies including JNUSU President Oishi Ghosh, were identified as suspects in the violence on the campus. The others included Dulan Samanta, Priyaranjan, Sucheta Talukdar, Bhaskar Vijay Mech, Chunchun Kumar, an alumnus of JNU, and Pankaj Mishra. The remaining 2 suspects named by police are Vikas Patel and Yogendra Bharadwaj. Police sources said the 2 are from the RSS-affiliated Akhil Bharatiya Vidyarthi Parishad. Among the 9, the police will question 3 today. The 3 women who have been served notices will be questioned by a lady official at a place comfortable for them, an official said. All the 9 people have been sent notices to join the probe via email and WhatsApp, police said. While Pankaj Mishra has been asked to join the probe at 11:30 p.m. today at the admin block, Dulan Samanta and Sucheta Talukdar will be joining the probe on Tuesday, the official said. Chunchun Kumar has been called to join the probe on January 15, he said. JNUSU President Oishi Ghosh has also been sent a notice to join the probe, but police have not received a response from her yet, he added. A total of 60 people were part of the WhatsApp group Unity Against Left, believed to have been created while the violence escalated on the JNU campus. Among them, addresses of 37 people have been traced and notices have been sent to them to join the probe, police said. Queen Elizabeth II has summoned her grandson Prince Harry for face-to-face talks today to discuss the future roles for him and his wife Meghan Markle, following the couple's bombshell announcement that they want to step back from Britain's royal duties. Prince Harry, the Duke of Sussex, his brother William, the Duke of Cambridge, and their father Charles, the Prince of Wales, have all been invited to the meeting at the Queen's Sandringham estate in Norfolk, while Meghan, who is in Canada with the couple's 8-month-old son Archie, is expected to join the discussion over phone. The meeting will be the first time the 93-year-old monarch has come face-to-face with Harry since the Sussex crisis exploded. It will determine the couple's future roles and decide if they will retain their royal titles as the Duke and Duchess of Sussex. The couple made their bombshell announcement on Wednesday that they intend to step back from being frontline royals, split their time between the UK and North America, and work towards becoming financially independent. According to Royal Insiders, the so-called Sandringham Summit is expected to thrash out some of the key details, but a complete resolution to the couple's expressed wish to split their time between the UK and North America and become financially independent is unlikely to be achieved at the end of today's meeting. There are likely to be tax implications as a result of such unprecedented changes to their residential and financial status as royals. A concrete plan is expected to be broadly agreed and publicly announced sometime in the coming week, with details left to be fleshed out over time. Some of the issues to be discussed at the crisis talks would include how much official royal work Harry, 35, and Meghan, 38, will do in the UK and overseas on behalf of the royal family and the government. It will also discuss Harry and Meghan's his and her Royal Highness titles, and how they will be styled, how much money they might receive from the Queen and Prince Charles once their sovereign grant public funding is cut, and what commercial deals the couple might be allowed to strike. The crunch meeting, presided over by the 93-year-old monarch, being dubbed a family showdown, will present Harry with a range of draft-written proposals compiled by a team of aides and private secretaries. The Queen traditionally remains at Sandringham in the Norfolk County of England after Christmas until February 6, the anniversary of the death of her father, King George VI. And Real Madrid beat City rivals Atletico Madrid 4-1 in a penalty shootout to win the first edition of the revamped Spanish Super Cup in Saudi Arabia, following a goalless draw after extra time in a tense final on Sunday. Captain Sergio Ramos calmly sent Atletico keeper Jan Oblak the wrong way to convert the decisive fourth penalty for Real to seal the first trophy of the season after Dani Carvajal, Rodrigo Goes and Luka Modric had scored for his side. Sol Neguez struck the post with Atletico's first penalty, while Thomas Partey's effort was punched away by Thibaut Courtois in a nightmare start to the shootout for Diego Simeone's side, with only Kieran Trippier scoring for them. Real midfielder Federico Valverde was sent off in the 115th minute for hauling down Alvaro Morata when the Spain striker was through on goal, but Zinedine Zidane's side survived the final stretch of the game to force penalties. They kept their nerve in the shootout to win the Super Cup for the 11th time and earn a 10th trophy under coach Zidane, their first since the Frenchman returned to the role last March after resigning in 2018. The shootout victory also preserved Zidane's flawless record in finals, with the Frenchman winning all 9 showpieces he has reached with Real as coach. Oblak and Courtois were the top performers in a cagey 90 minutes, which forced extra time for the 5th consecutive final between the City rivals since 2013. Courtois made an outstanding save to deny Morata late in regulation time after a sumptuous pass from Trippier, while Slovenian international Oblak made a superb double save in the extra period to thwart Luka Modric and then Mariano Diaz. The Super Cup was the traditional season curtain raiser between the league and cup winners before the competition was expanded to 4 teams by the National Federation last November and move to Saudi Arabia in a three-year deal worth a reported 120 million euros. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.